family. Wonderful song. Take your Bibles tonight. Let's go, please, to 2 Corinthians and chapter number 6 in your Bibles tonight. The book of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 6 in your Bibles tonight. Well, God is good. And thank the Lord. I've been seeing a few folks coming lately we've been praying for, and it's been good to see Derek been coming, and to thank the Lord for that. And, you know, that's a prayer request. I know this family's been praying for him to come, and he's been coming. Amen. And he asked me something about bringing an AK-47 to church one time. I said, well, I know a couple of church members that maybe could use it, but yeah, right. Amen. You take one, right? That wasn't the context of what I was saying, but anyhow, you can take it that way, I guess, if you want. Amen. But praise the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord takes all types of people. Amen. And it's all types of people that make up a church. Amen. Aren't you glad nobody else is like you? Amen. That's what somebody told me one time. What if God made another you? I said that I'd move to Maine wherever he was not. Amen. Thank God. God takes all kinds of people and uses them for his glory and honor. Amen. Well, I want to preach to you on this passage of scripture. Let's begin 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14 in God's precious word. Hope you have your Bible out tonight. Amen. I hope you're ready in your heart to hear something from God tonight, because God's word always will speak to you. Always. Amen. So let's begin here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. Bible teaches us here, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Let's pray tonight. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word tonight. Help us tonight with spiritual hearts, spiritual ears to hear your word tonight. And what you'd like to say to us, God. Oh, Lord, don't leave any one of us alone tonight as we hear the word. Help us, I pray tonight, to tune in to what you're trying to say to us, Lord. Speak to us through the word of God tonight, I pray. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a scriptural principle here in God's word that I believe every Christian ought to get a hold of and understand. And thank God when a Christian does get a hold of the truth that I'm going to preach on tonight from God's word. I believe it's a life-changing truth. I believe it's truth that can literally change the direction and the course of your life. And it is this verse in verse 17 that talks about coming out from among them and being separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, some things that a Christian ought to separate from. Some things that a Christian ought to separate from. Can I tell you, the world is filled with things that are things that a Christian has no business being a part of. And God says and teaches us in his word that when you're saved, there is a different fellowship that should belong in your life. Notice he says here in verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship? See the word fellowship. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness. Can a Christian who's saved and surrendered to God and living clean for God, can he fellowship properly as God would want him to do with the lost, wicked world? Can there be a fellowship there? I want to explain to you and understand why God said in His Word there should be a separation. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe a Christian should be isolated in the world. We're supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And if we're isolated, we can't do that. So God's not teaching this principle of isolation. He's teaching the principle that this world, we should remain separate from the world. We shouldn't be like the world. The world should be different because we have a different heart of fellowship with God that we want to maintain. And you can't do it when you're in the world and when you're close to the world. So God has some standards that He puts up in His Word. Can I tell you, that word standards is a very, very good thing. Amen. It's a very good thing. There ought to be some standards. And really, a standard is a line that you won't cross. It's a line that you will not go past because you want to live before crossing over into something that can drag you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is why God gives us this principle. He says to come out and be separate. And He does that because He desires to be closer to us. Notice verse number 18. He said, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye will be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." See, there's a better relationship with God when we're away from the world. You know, I believe it's impossible for a Christian to live in the world, live a worldly life, and have the right kind of proper fellowship that they should have with the Lord. I believe it's impossible. You know why? Because God didn't make you to live in the world. God made you to come out of this old world and be different. You know, the Bible teaches us that we're a holy generation. We're a royal priesthood, a holy generation, that we should show forth the praise of Him that hath created us. We're supposed to shine as lights in this world, not dwell in the darkness. We're supposed to live a little bit different life. And I think there's some things that a Christian ought to gather an understanding of what God is teaching us here that we ought to be careful to separate from. Number one, I want you to notice verse 14, be separate from unbelievers in marriage. In marriage. And I'll tell you something. Don't marry somebody that is not a saved Christian. Amen. Don't marry somebody that is not a dedicated Christian to the Lord. Amen. Don't marry somebody that is a worldly Christian. Amen. They love the world. God says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And here's the picture, is that there's two oxen, and they both have to work together as a team in life. And so the yoke is put on this team of oxen, amen, that's in the Greek, yoxen, amen. And they put this yoke on the yoxen, and these two oxen walk together, and if one gets ahead of the other, the other's got to catch up. If one gets behind, he's got to catch up because they have to walk together to accomplish this. And that is a picture of marriage. You know, I've seen a lot of Christians make a lot of mistake in who they marry. They marry somebody that's not dedicated to God, not faithful to the Lord, not faithful in church, not saved, and they marry them and say, I hope it will work out. And I want to tell you something, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't work out. Because this principle is not here. I've seen young ladies say, you know, if I don't take this guy that comes along, and I don't have total peace about marrying him, but I'm going to marry him anyway because I may never get another guy. Can I tell you what? That's the biggest mistake you could ever make. When you marry somebody, it needs to be right. You need to have the peace of God in your heart. The one you marry has to have standards and beliefs that you're going the same direction. Amen. Amen. And by the way, it's difficult enough. It's difficult enough in marriage, just two different backgrounds and two different genders. It's difficult enough to walk together in that realm, in that way. But God is teaching us, hey, when you get married, you know what you're doing? If you marry wrong, you're going to cause yourself a whole lot of hurt and trouble in life. Amen? You're going to cause a whole lot of trouble. I've seen young people, sometimes they'll get married because before they got married, they made a mistake and they messed up. And a young lady is expecting a child. And so she says, well, I have to marry him. And by the way, I believe a man ought to be responsible. Amen. Take care of that child. Right. Amen? Amen. But I want to tell you something. A lot of people mess up their lives because they know they don't stay separate. And what they do is they enter themselves into a life of difficulty and hardship. And by the way, all you got to do is don't take my word for it. Ask somebody who's been down that road. Ask somebody who's been down there. And so young people, you are wise. And by the way, this is why it's important to have standards when you're young, because you make most of your major decisions in life when you're young. You make the decision of salvation, usually. You usually make the decision of who you're going to marry, what college you're going to go to, what career path you're usually going to follow. A lot of these major decisions are started when you're young, and that's why you need to be in church all the time when you're young. And stay in church. You know why? Because if you don't, you'll drift into the world. The world will become your major influence. You know, I've heard people say, I'm a strong enough Christian. I can handle the world. That's exactly what the devil wants you to say. The devil wants you to say, oh, I can handle things. Don't worry about me, preacher. I'm good. And it won't be long before there's shipwreck in their life. And it's all because this principle, when they were going to get married, they didn't marry right. I want to tell you something. Take your time when you get married. Amen. Amen. Don't marry the first greasy thing that comes along from Wendy's. Amen. Don't marry the first thing that comes. Sure as I said that, somebody found their mate at Wendy's in the church. It always happens that way, something like that. And but you understand what I'm saying, amen? You know the thing, right? You know. Okay, anyhow. I have to make sure you're awake sometimes, okay? All right. But I'm trying to say marry right. Amen. How do you marry right? Have your parents' approval. Amen. Number two, ask your pastor's approval. Amen. Well, I just don't want all these people controlling my life. Have you ever stopped to think that those people have been down the road and may have seen some troubles that you haven't been down yet, and that they really love you and they really care best for you? Amen. Marry right. Number three, don't mess around before you get married. Amen. I said don't mess around before you get married. Amen. You know why? Because usually if you break the rules before marriage, you're apt to break them after marriage. Amen. So I'm saying to you, marry right. Do it right. And by the way, take a long time before you get married. You know what you need to do, fellas, before you get married? Is make sure you see her when she gets really mad. Right? That'd be good. And you know what you're up against. Amen? Right? Ladies, don't marry a guy who's a flirts with all the girls. Don't marry a guy that flirts with all the girls. That's good. Amen. You say, why not? Because if he has an intent to have you only in his heart, then that ought to start long before. Amen? Amen. So there has to be rule. People today don't like rules, and what happens is they face adverse consequences afterwards. Because they don't, let me tell you something. God's rules are things that are good for us. He is trying to protect us. God is not our enemy. He doesn't hate us. But he knows if we follow the world's path or we follow the way the world does everything, it's going to be bad. Amen. Don't kiss and hold hands and get out and park cars before you're married. Now, after you get married and you have a license, go at it. Amen. Amen. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Amen. It just came out. Amen. Yeah. Within the bounds of marriage. Not outside of the bounds of marriage. So God is teaching us there should be a separation. Don't go to the world to find your mate. The world does not produce mates that are going to have you together as two. You're going to be unequally yoked. You know, the Bible reminds us in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk together unless you're agreed. You know, if you marry somebody that's a Catholic or you marry somebody that's another religion, you're going to raise those children in that religion where they may never know God? See, sometimes when a person wants to get married, the emotions take over instead of the brain, instead of walking with God. And God teaches us, make sure you marry the right one. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. There's a second thing that this separation is talking about. It's talking about something called ecclesiastical separation. You say, now what's that, preacher? Ecclesiastical separation is when a church remains as a institution that does not get together with all the local ministerial association and all the alliances and all the et cetera, et cetera, that goes on. I don't believe a church ought to be a part of that stuff. You say, now why? I'll tell you why. Because half of them don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Half of them don't have a lick of standards or beliefs. The only thing that guides their mentality is one thought. And that thought is everybody ought to just get together. And can I tell you, you may have a union, but that doesn't mean you have unity. You have to have, if you're going to have ecclesiastical separation, by the way, we're not a part of World Council of Churches. We do believe in being a fellowship church with other like-minded pastors and believers. We believe in that. I think that's good. I think that's an important thing. But I want to tell you something. I won't be going down to the New Catholic Church to check it out to see what's going on down there. Amen. I know what goes on down there. Amen. So I'm simply saying to you tonight, there should be a separation, an ecclesiastical separation. Hey, I want to hang around men with like doctrine. Amen. Amen. And you should too. And you got to be careful when you go to work and these people start coming up with all these ideas and twisting scripture. And they're feeding you this stuff at work. Listen, don't give weight to all the winds that blow in the world. There's a lot of winds out there. There's a lot of blowing winds. Be solid on solid ground in what you believe. Be separate. separate. I think there should be a separation ecclesiastically, and in doctrine. Amen? And I tell you, there are churches that don't believe the Word of God. And by the way, I don't support Bible colleges that have a hard time with the King James Bible.
Amen.
I don't support them. You say, why? Why is that? Can two walk together except they be agreed?
That's right.
Now, don't get me wrong. There's little things that are preferences. Preferences are different than convictions. Well, I think you ought to wear a three-piece suit over a double-breasted suit. You know what that's called? That's called a preference. That's not a conviction. That's not something you ought to stand so strong on. Right? Well, I think you ought to wear black shoes. And, you know, I don't think so. I think you ought to wear brown shoes. You know what I say to that? Who cares? Amen? Some of those things do not matter. But a lot of Christians get caught up on preferences. And usually, that kind of person is so big on preferences and so weak on true convictions. And it ought to be the exact opposite. Amen? And what the Bible clearly defines and what the Bible makes clear, you and I should stand on it with a conviction.
Amen.
Stand on the Word of God. There's not enough young people standing today. There's too many yellow spine, soft soaping, pink tea, lemonade, lace on your socks people today. There's too many of them. And don't shake my hand limp-wristed either. Amen? Don't give me a dead fish. Amen? Give me a live one. Amen? By the way, that's a preference. Amen? But I like it. Amen? I like it. Now, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to say, Christians, you know, we get so tied up with the world. The world has such an influence on us that we're not careful to see where these things can lead us if we allow them to influence us. And we have to understand, in marriage there's a certain separate thing. In doctrine, there's a separation there. And then thirdly, there is a separation in worldly practices. Worldly practices. Now, a few of those I want to give you. The number one thing is music. Music. Let me tell you something. Country Western music does not agree with the Spirit of God. It talks, listen what it talks about. It talks about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue went down to the bar, hung out, got on the dance floor, got drunk, came home, had a one-night stand in their pickup truck. Isn't that what it is? Then turn the next one on. That's a that's the same song, second verse. That's all that is. Talks about the same stuff. And it's all geared around the flesh.
Yeah.
Drinking, partying, one night stands. Let me tell you something. Country Western music. Now, some of that old Western music is okay. I think some of it's pretty good. I like some of that old Western music, you know? But this country stuff today, the devil's got in it. Listen, you got to be able to turn it off.
Yeah, sure.
Amen? You got to have a backbone if you're going to be a Christian.
Yeah.
You got to be able to say, no. Go home, stand in front of the mirror and practice saying no. No.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
No. No way, buddy. Great. Nope. That's good. Amen? Why? Because we're supposed to stay separate in our music. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace and our hearts to the Lord. By the way, some of this contemporary Christian music is junk. You say, boy, you're against everything. No, I'm getting there, though. I'm preaching on all the rest of stuff. I just haven't gotten there yet. Amen. This contemporary Christian music, it's breathy and sensual. And, oh, it patterns themselves out of the world. You'd be surprised, some of the contemporary Christian music artists and singers today who use Christianity as a platform to get into other wrong worldly kinds of music. And I could name names here of two of them that did that, and you probably know some of them. But I'm saying to you tonight, we got to, as a Christian, when we hear that uncertain sound, there ought to be something sensitive inside of us that says, no, that ain't good. That ain't good. I'm going to flip that off. I'm going to turn that thing down, turn it off. Some Christians like some of this easy listening music. Back when I was young, there was a controversy over a song that Pat Boone wrote called You Light Up My Life. How many of you remember that? Remember that one? Only you young people don't remember that. Only us old geezers were. But, you know, that song was meant and written to be sung at both church and in the bar room. Yeah. Now, if it's going to be in the bar room, I don't want it in the church. Amen. And that, you know, some people say, oh, you're just old-fashioned fuddy-duddy. You're so ancient. I mean, there's dust from the ark rolling off of your body. Hey, I don't care. Amen. I don't care what people think anymore. Amen. And the older I get, the less inhibitions I have. Amen. That's right. But I want to tell you something. This world is crazy, and they will influence you if you don't have a backbone to stay separate. Amen. Amen. So, stay away from the wrong kind of music. Then, go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. You know, this verse talks about dress. Hey, listen, this world's gone nuts with dress. You say, well, I don't think a preacher should talk about dress. Well, God does. And as long as God does, I'm going to. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. Notice what God says. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying that a woman ought to dress in a way to call attention, not to call attention to her body. You're not supposed to dress that way. You're not supposed to dress in a fashion, in a way that calls attention to your physical body. And there are things that will do that. Number one, low-cut things. Low-cut things cause attention to your body. That's not of God, that's of the flesh. Amen. Two, clothing that's too tight. Amen. Clothing that's too tight. Thirdly, clothing that's too short. That shows your thighs, shows your legs. Let me tell you something. And you know what I'm saying is true. But there are ladies out there who dress that way for one reason. They're trying to catch the eye of a man. That's what they're trying to do. And that is why they dress the way they do. And I want to tell you something. That kind of thinking ought never be in the heart of a Christian lady. Amen. 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 Don't dress to catch the eye of someone else. Amen. You know, there's a verse in Isaiah that talks about nakedness is the revealing of the thighs. Amen. Amen. When the thighs are revealed, it's nakedness. I didn't hear any amens on that one. But I didn't say it. God said it.
Amen.
Amen. And I want to tell you something. We have to understand there is a way a Christian should dress, a Christian lady should dress. And this word is modest apparel. Now, there's a word here that's really interesting. It's the word adorn. Do you know what the word adorn means? It means to snuff out a fire. Like a candle snuffer, when there's a candle on fire and poof, you let the candle out. When my wife and I were getting married, we had a unity candle. And I'd never lit a unity candle before because I'd never been married before. And I didn't know how it worked, so I grabbed the candle. And I guess we lit ours together. We lit ours together. And I thought I was supposed to blow it out. Did I blow it out? Oh, I tried to relight hers. Amen. There's 500 people out there laughing at me. And then something about blow it out. We're supposed to blow out the uni candle, and I blew out the wrong one. Blew out the single one. That's the one I was supposed to blow out, but didn't get it right. So anyhow, but that's why I'm preaching against unity candles. Evil, ungodly things. Get them off of the platform. Amen. No. So, but hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. This matter of ladies' dress, don't get offended about it. Don't get offended about it. God doesn't have your worst in mind. God has your best in mind. Amen. And you know what? I believe you ought to have a wardrobe that pleases God. Amen. And by the way, it's not a bad idea for men to not go walking around in your cut-off jeans with your big hairy beer belly hanging out while you're mowing the lawn either. Right? Amen?
Yeah.
There should be some propriety and decency. Even though that verse doesn't talk about men, there should still be some propriety and some decency in men.
Yeah.
Amen? I'm not going to go walking around like that. Amen? Amen. And no Christian should. Amen. Preach it, preacher. But listen, the world has influenced how we ought to dress. The world has a way that they want a lady to dress. You say, well, if I don't dress that way, I won't catch a man. Let me tell you something. If you dress that way, you might catch the wrong kind of man. Amen. You want the kind of man that appreciates the way you dress in a godly manner. You want that kind of man. Amen. So I'm simply saying to you tonight, ladies, be separate. Don't follow the world. Be separate from the world in this. Be separate in music. Be separate in your dress. Be separate in your doctrine. Be separate in who you choose to marry. Be separate. Be separate in this world. Now go back, if you would, to 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians. Let's go back there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And notice, if you would, verse 15. It says here, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Now, this is a connection that we're supposed to have with God. And the point of the passage is that there cannot be a connection with God where there is not a separate life. Because if these things are in a Christian's life, he's going to have a hard time walking with God. Because what kind of concord, what kind of peace or walking together can there be? It's very inhibitive, prohibits the thing. And you know, a lot of people have so many things, junk in their life, that they can't spend time with God. And they don't want to spend time with God because that junk is predominant in their life. And I want to tell you something. There's a lot of things we got to watch out for. Always be separate. Always, you know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I thank God for ladies who play the piano in our church. Amen. My wife, Mrs. Gonzalez, Samantha when she's here. You know, different ones play. Listen, I thank God for that. Because sometimes if you don't have a piano, it's a temptation to want to sing off of canned music. And you say, is there anything wrong with canned music? Well, here's the difficulty. It's hard to keep the standards of it right when it's canned music because it's already predetermined what it is. But there's just something blessed about when a song is sung with just a piano in the background. There's something where the Spirit of God just seems to come through in that music with the piano. But boy, you get a bunch of drums in it mixed into it. You get a bunch of strong beat in it. And you know what you do? You convolute the message of the song. And the message of the song is what God wants us to hear. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And when we hear it with the Spirit of God speaking behind it, man, I'll tell you what, that is the whole idea. Separation is also an agreement with God. It also ties us closer and connects us closer with God. Because what concord can you have with Christ and Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And the reason is because of verse 16, it says, ye are the temple of the living God. You are the temple. Your body is the temple of the living God. And our bodies is where God dwells. We're the temple of God. And whatever you do in your life, whatever you do should be pleasing to God because this body is his temple. Amen? And so we ought to understand that. We ought to accept that. Now, lastly, verse 18. I want to tie one thing together here. Notice it says, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Now, God is not teaching that you have to have standards to be saved. Okay, that's not what he's saying. He's not saying I'll only be a father to you if you're separate. Well, here's what he is saying. He is saying that I will have a relationship as a father and a son with you. I will be closer to you. I will have a closer walk, a closer relationship. You will have a closer relationship with God when you decide to take these things that are in your life and give them to God and say, I don't want them anymore. You know, one of the hardest things for a Christian to do, one of the hardest things that Christians have a hard time with is giving up addictions. Cigarettes, marijuana, drugs, alcohol. I'm going to tell you something. People really genuinely struggle with these, but I want to tell you something. Those things are interrupters and roadblocks in their service for the Lord. They keep them from having God's best in their life. And they hold on to them as if they need them. But hear me, they don't. Because the substitute for all those addictions is this close peace and walk with God. And he said, I'll be a father unto you. I'll be like a father. I'll be like a son unto you, my daughter. Now, my daughter's getting married. And I'm going to tell you something. Have your children early because the sooner you have them, the cheaper the wedding is. Amen. I'm starting to hear facts and figures about weddings that are far beyond the first wedding I paid for. Right? But you know what? There's something inside of me that says, you know what? She's my girl. She's my girl. So I'm going to pay for a double cheeseburger instead of a single cheeseburger for her wedding. Amen. She's my girl. No, listen, there's something about when you have that relationship, son and daughter, that, okay, I don't mind being a blessing. Amen. I'll go rob a bank and pay for it. It's not a problem. No worries. You know, this is what Jesus is talking about. He's saying, hey, listen, when you're separate from this world, I got news for you. You're going to be a lot closer to God. And he's going to treat you closer like a son and a daughter. And that relationship will flourish better. And that peace that you have in your life will be so much better, so much stronger. And you will be a stronger Christian. You will feel like a conqueror in the Lord when you live with separation in your life. Now, can I tell you what? God doesn't force anybody to do anything, does he? You have to choose it. You have to desire it in your own heart, genuinely, or really it doesn't do any good. So what God is trying to say, Lord, I want to be close to you. I want to be yours. I want to have this relationship with you like a father and a son, like a father and a daughter. That close relationship, that relationship that says, you're mine and I'm yours. And, you know, we're close together. And that's what God is trying to accomplish in our life through separation. A lot of churches have given up on separation today. A lot of churches have quit. And by the way, when we clog up separation standards, we also are clogging up God's blessings in our life. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. You say, well, preacher, to build a big church and reach a lot of people, you have to compromise something. Really? Show me chapter and verse on that. And by the way, once you compromise, you usually don't get the fruit that you really intended in the first place. So I'm simply saying to you tonight, separation is something every Christian ought to really, really embrace and say, Lord, all I need is a close time with you. I just need a close walk with you. I want to be like father and daughter in our relationship. And let that be what fills our joy in our heart as we live that kind of life for God. To live that kind of life, you're going to have to say no to a lot of things. You're going to have a backbone, and you're going to have to be willing to be laughed at sometimes or mocked or somebody criticize you in a way that you never thought you would be criticized. It can happen. But hear me. Don't forget this. Jesus said, I'll be a father unto you. I will be like a father, and you'll be like my son or my daughter in that relationship. So I say to you tonight, embrace standards of separation. Don't eschew them. Don't hate them. Don't despise them. Don't come up with all these excuses. Well, that was the law. I read to you everything from the New Testament tonight. It's not the law. It's God's word. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes tonight. Our heads are bowed tonight.